right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Sorry, my eyes are all watery. We were laughing our butts off at that last video in the pregame. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat, then we're going to get to some 1-6 stuff. For me, of course, 1-6 just means 1-6-2021 has meant when they swore it, not they swear in, but certified the fraudulent election of Joe Biden. And 1-6 of 2025 means the actual real president who should have been the president over the last 4 years was certified today. That's all 1-6 means to me. The little protest that happened and nobody was hurt outside of the protesters, I don't really care about any of that. All right, let me say it to everybody in the chat. Coco Dominguez is on. Let me see. Oh, no, that's not Coco Dominguez. That's Coco DeWhiskey is on. Dave Sauer is on. KVVMS is on. Sexy Pony's on. Jules 54 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Death Plan is on. Jules 21 Hours on. Braden McGroin. McGroin Nation is on. Snarl Barkley is on. D9597 is on. Alpha Acres is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Let me see here. There's that's Coco DeWhiskey again. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Drumming for Jesus is on. Wildcat 89 is on. Mike Griffith's on. Judy Anita is on. Black Bar 201 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. John Phillips is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Devnew 2011 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. If I didn't say already, App Seeks Truth is on. Why Not Me is on. Silent is on. Thank you for the $5 in Rumble rant already. The one and only the Erectionist is on. Alpha Acres is on. Luann 5 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. The producer, Aaron Yeager, is on. Charlie 340 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Uncle Wally's on. A. Wethy is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Lady Vu is on. Joe Heathen's on. Gritterdun is on. Gritterdun is on. Let me see here. Mobetta 01 is on. Somebody didn't call. Danal 59 is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Elaine Mack is on. La Picket Fence is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Let me see here. Lots of people. Everybody excited for 1-6 day Trump's certification. We don't recognize 1-6 anything else. There you go. Let me see. Just checking it out here. Joins is on. One Fast Rob is on. Let me see here. Mom for Boys is on. Let me see. Just missed anybody. Well, Tim L. T-Bird is on. There we go. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Could have, I guess, dedicated a whole show to 1-6, but about the, you know, obviousness of it being a Fed's erection and all the various testimonies we've already showed. But really, until we get all the videos that released the way they're supposed to be released, I know that there's been a new release of the bomber video. They say it's a new release, and it's simply the only reason why there's any newness, the reason why there appears to be any cooperation by the FBI is because they know that in about 14 days, Kash Patel will be over the FBI. I know that's not literal, but Kash Patel will be in charge of the FBI in one way, shape, or form. There will be a bunch of people. The weird thing about how all this works on January 20th is that what Biden is doing now is that there are a bunch of people who are governmental appointees, and as soon as Trump takes office, they lose all their power because they're appointees. But try to follow me on this. But what he does is appoint people to take their place when the appointed people lose their jurisdiction, lose their job. So there's a bunch of radical leftists that are going to be running all of these governmental agencies until the second Donald Trump replaces them. That's how quick it is. And there's 4,000 of these jobs. Only 1,000 of them, or is it 3,000? Can't remember. It's 3 or 4,000. There's 1,000 that have to go through Senate confirmations. The rest of the thousands, whether it's 2 or 3 more thousand jobs, don't. So this is really, and listen, this time Trump is all over this, and his team's all over this, transition team's all over this, because as soon as he takes office, he has to get the Biden appointees out. You're like, the appointees will automatically be out, not the ones who replace the appointees with another appointee. That's how it is. That's how this whole situation works. So you'll have a radical leftist run the FBI, radical leftists run the DEA, radical leftists running DHS and HHS and all the other institutions you could possibly imagine. So they all need to be immediately, you know, what needs to happen is obviously, you know, DHS secretary has to go through Senate confirmation. You have to put in interim directors, you know, people that are just put in for the moment. You know, that has to happen. And it will. I'm trying. They're all over this time. So we're not going to have to worry about it. But it's got to happen super quickly. But really, normally I would kind of like, you know, get on my bully pulpit here and rant about it. But really this time with this, nothing's perfect. You know, we've seen some imperfections with Elon Musk recently, you know, with the whole immigration thing. And him and Bannon are going, Bannon's got anti-Elon stuff going on his podcast right now. And they're not really going back and forth. Elon is banning people off of Twitter. We're fighting him on his legal immigration argument stuff. The, what's it, H-1B, the yeah. H-1B stuff.
Yep.
So they're fighting it, fighting each other. This is good. This is the way that it is. Elon is a centrist leaning right who used to lean left. So Elon is not going to be perfect. I'm not going to defend him. If he's wrong, he's wrong. You know, the H-1B thing is an arguable thing on both ends. Right now, it's a mess, but do you get rid of all legal immigration where you're basically recruiting the best from the rest of the world? That's what H-1B is supposed to be. It hasn't been for decades. We all know that. It's completely broken. It's actually a recruitment center to replace the American middle class right now. So Elon is wrong about it in the sense that it is not good now, and it just needs to be stripped of the studs or completely eliminated and then start a true international recruitment organization where we bring in the best and the brightest. You're like, yeah, but then you make other nations dumber. I don't care. I don't care if we get their best. You're like, Tom, shouldn't you? I don't care. And by the way, we won't get them all. We need to make sure that, you know, there's stability around the world and things like that. I mean, I don't mean that in a military sense because I'm tired of being the world's policeman. But so this infighting that you're seeing, it's part of every transition. And it's a part of every church. It's a part of any organization. Nobody agrees with each other all the time. And there's infighting going on. There always is. You know, so I just wanted to cover some of those mitigating things out there. And Elon banning people off of Twitter is being an adolescent fool doing that stuff. He's acting like a little petulant adolescent. He needs to not do it, but he's doing it. Elon, listen, that's the fact. And I think there's still a whole lot of banning going on because Linda Yaccarino really runs Twitter, and she can't be trusted. And Twitter X. All right, so let's do this now. On the 1-6 stuff, it's an excellent video coming from Cheryl Atkinson. And this is actually part two of it, but it's a good summation of part one and part two. So I used exclusively part two because, first of all, it's kind of long. It's long. But I wanted to give 7 minutes long. But I wanted to give one. This focuses on the Ashley Babbitt shooting, the only person who was shot and the only person actually killed. Other people died as a result of January 6th. Other people died as a result of it. Well, no, Roseanne Borland was also killed. So, I mean, we showed the video of her being beaten with an ass baton when it appears she was already dead or she's definitely unconscious. But anyway, interesting police tactics from the Capitol Hill Police Department. I don't know where that is in their use of force matrix. When you have an unconscious subject and you beat them mercilessly with a stainless steel ass baton. I don't know where that is on the use of force matrix. That where it would be at the Sheriff's Office is fired the next day. Done. You wouldn't even be the next day. The sheriff would actually call you that night and tell you, turn in your badge and gun now. When you're beating an unconscious, I'll bet you right now the person who did that's been promoted. Just like Michael Burr's been promoted for gunning down Ashley Babbitt. So anyway, 7-minute video. It's riveting, though. It's riveting. It's a breakdown of intel experts of live video from 1-6. So again, Cheryl Atkinson video. Here's part two. Play for me.
Continue our examination of the January 6th protests. We've already seen key violent instigators on video allowed behind police lines, consulting with law enforcement, and permitted to take a lead in the crowd where they push past police. We pick up now with some of them leading a group to the fatal scene where a Capitol Police lieutenant shoots and kills unarmed protester Ashley Babbitt. Now outside the House floor, Our analysts note numerous protesters using hand signals.
So watch his hand. Yeah, he's identifying somebody.
Yeah, he's picking somebody out in the crowd and pointing it to them up there.
He's signaling somebody, and there's another fist up right now. So there's multiple people that are doing the fist.
Some 10 minutes after Earmuff Man first appeared on the video from behind the police line and blended in with the crowd, he's the key instigator outside a hallway called the Speaker's Lobby. Notice the officer doesn't react or pull away when Earmuff Man grabs him by the hand. A police team in riot gear arrives. They're nearby off camera, and three officers guarding the Speaker's Lobby suddenly walk off.
When the whole country hates you,
I want you to go home.
We have
to go.
And immediately they all walk away.
I'd love to know why or who gave the order for them to bend in that post. Everything seemed calm. They had it under control. They were holding their line, and then they forfeited. I don't know why.
Earmuff Man removes his hat and mask and takes the lead, beating on the glass with a helmet as police and a sergeant-at-arms official watch. The gun of Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd can be seen. He fires, killing an unarmed protester named Ashley Babbitt as she climbs through a broken window. Earmuff Man immediately runs behind the line of police and riot gear who are watching, positioned on a staircase just steps away, and they let him in. Though he was a violent leader just moments before, he can be seen speaking with and touching officers who then allow him to crouch and dig through his backpack as they turn their backs to him.
Yeah, that's emergency response team. So they're not there to negotiate with you. They're there to put you on the ground, but they're letting him back.
If you look down there now, so he's changing his shirt.
He's getting things or putting things in his bag.
So in police training, would you ever let a demonstrator after a shooting come behind your line and turn your back on him, dig through his backpack?
No. He's going to be controlled. First, if he's behind the line, it's because we want him there, and then he's going to have somebody with him. He's going to have somebody probably on top of him.
If he were a demonstrator.
Right, yeah, literally. If I need to talk to him, hold on to him, and we pass him to the back, then they're holding on to him very, very securely until it's over with and we're done talking to him.
What does this scene say to you?
He obviously has free range to do. Now, I understand it's a very dynamic situation. There's a lot going on, but for all these, emergency response team or rapid reaction team to just keep passing him back to no one and allow him to go digging through that bag in the stairwell, it raises a lot of questions.
Tell me about procedure and what you see here.
He would have been passed down the steps and restrained. You might have handcuffs, zip ties on him if he was somebody that you were passing down the line. If he was a crowd control issue, he's certainly within a lunging distance for these guys. They're clearly comfortable with him being there. The last guy on the line doesn't even have his face towards him. He's got his back towards him.
Earmuff Man wasn't arrested that day, but images of him breaking the glass before Ashley Babbitt was shot were shown on the news and online. Amid the public uproar, he was arrested about a month later. His name, Zachary Alam. His indictment didn't explain why he took a lead that day or mention any evidence he's a Trump supporter. We asked the Justice Department to help identify and provide context for key instigators seen on camera, but they declined. Lawyers representing Alam didn't return calls. He now awaits January sentencing on 10 criminal convictions. A Justice Department press release says Alam had roamed violently around the Capitol on January 6th until he was, quote, corralled in that hallway where police inexplicably allowed him to join the crowd and become a leader. More questions are raised by a high-ranking law enforcement source that day. He tells Full Measure that for the first time he knows of, Capitol Police weren't given the standard intelligence briefing telling which intelligence agencies, officers, and informants would be in the crowd on January 6th. And last month, former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun testified that in a deviation from normal practice, undercover officers from other departments were embedded without his knowledge.
We actually have evidence and records indicating plainclothes MPD officers were on Capitol grounds on January 6th. And you're saying you weren't aware that they would have embedded those officers within the crowd. They didn't make you aware of that.
No, sir, they did not make me aware of it.
FBI Director Christopher Wray has gone on record denying his agency played any improper role.
I will say this notion that somehow the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and agents is ludicrous and is a disservice to our brave, hardworking, dedicated men and women.
Is it a rational question to ask whether those people were working with the federal agencies or with police?
Yes, it's absolutely a completely reasonable question. Could they have been an informant? Perhaps. Could they have been an undercover? You never know. I don't think that this is a perfect puzzle where all the pieces go together. I do think, though, that there were some just blatant behaviors that day that were not normal. They were very unnatural, that necessitate a full, transparent, and open investigation by the individuals that are positioned to do that in government and by individuals such as yourself in media who should have access to that footage so that they can present it to the American people.
Democrats in Congress withheld the full Capitol videos. After Republicans won control of the House in 2022, they also withheld the video, but recently established strict processes for who they say can view parts of the video in private and make requests for clips.
All right, so whenever you guys can put up those pics, let me know so I, you know, I have an idea of where I'm at as far as talking. But anyway, first part, the very first part, this is something that I've been saying for a really long time, again, and focusing on, the reason why I focus on this is very easy. You know what? There's other areas too. We could go out in front of the Capitol, in the, you know, right at the bottom of the stairs with the tear gas and the rubber bullets shot at people who don't need to be tear gassed. And I just do those side by side, Aaron, whenever you can, those pics. Don't need to be shot with rubber bullets. Don't need to be tear gassed, and yet they are. So we can do a whole expose about that. There's other video of Capitol Hill police saying we've been screwed over. You're using not using that word, but using the F word. We've been screwed over. The National Guard should be here. We can do all of it, but we've already done it recently. Nancy Pelosi saying that, where is the National Guard? Why isn't the National Guard here when she's the one who turned down the National Guard? And then, prior to her shooting that video, she was in the Capitol acting like she was calling various governors, including the governor of Maryland, asking for the National Guard. Well, she had already turned down. Why would you be calling the National Guard for Virginia and Maryland? Ralph Northam at the time for the state of Virginia and Hogan for the state of Maryland, Larry Hogan. Why are you calling them when you turned down the D.C. National Guard, which, by the way, was 2 miles from where she was making the phone call. So imagine that. She's calling all these other governors who have nothing to do with Washington, D.C., nothing, and she had already turned down 10,000 National Guard troops. So had Schumer. So had Pelosi. Of course, so had Pelosi. So had Schumer. So had Muriel Bowser. So had Mitch McConnell, turned it all down, and then she's got on the phone, not on the phone, in the car, and all of this is, of course, very, very conveniently being taped by her daughter, who happened to be there that day, and her son-in-law, who was taping out on the Capitol steps, trying to make people look as bad as he possibly could. All conveniently there, as if she knew that there was going to be this Fed surrection that day. And then, of course, Ray Epps had called her office 4 times prior to 1-6. That's a weird coincidence, isn't it? No. And none of this was ever illuminated. None of this was ever illuminated by Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or Bernie Thompson or anybody else on the J6 non-select committee. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting. So, anyway, she's making calls on video for Larry Hogan in Maryland, Ralph Northam to send her their National Guards from Maryland and from Virginia, who knows where they're stationed. They're not even ready to go. But the D.C. National Guard was bivouacked 2 miles away. And she never, and of course, we all know Mark Milley setting it up the day before where you would have to reach an interim contact. Never in the history has this happened before. Normally, it's you want the National Guard. You call the appropriate jurisdictional National Guard commander. So if you need D.C. National Guard, there is a commander that you directly call. If you're the Speaker of the House, you have direct access to that person. If you are, of course, President of the United States, if you are the Senate Majority Leader, whoever, a bigwig in D.C., you have direct access to that person. As does any bigwig to any jurisdictional National Guard unit in any state. Well, strangely, the day before, Mark Milley puts it to where you had to get a hold of the Secretary of the Army first. And strangely, for hours, including the chief of the Capitol Police, nobody could get a hold of the Secretary of the Army for hours. Weird, isn't it? Now, the commander of the National Guard, who was stationed 2 miles away, ready to go, anybody, literally 36 hours before that, 24 hours before that, all you would have to do is call him. But Milley changed it on January 5th, where you would have to call the Secretary of the Army first. Weird, isn't it? And when Stephen Sund tried to call the Secretary of the Army, he didn't answer. Then Stephen Sund, Capitol Hill Police Chief, tried to call Nancy Pelosi. She didn't answer for 70 minutes. She's so desperate to get National Guard troops there. And then is lamenting the fact that they're not there as she drives away in her minivan with her daughter. Well, why weren't they there? I messed up. I should have. They should be here. Why are they not here? Because you said don't bring them. You said I don't want them. That's why they're not there. You said that weeks in advance, as Donald Trump offered you somewhere between 10 and 30,000 National Guard troops. All backed up. This is all backed up with communiques. And if you want to check that, that's with Cash Patel. Has a video out on it can't remember what podcast it is. But anyway, if I do remember, I'll tell you. It's on Timcast. So anyway, so here we have one of the most interesting things. And again, I got Brent in the room, who's an experienced law enforcement officer. I'm an experienced law enforcement officer. Here you are guarding this door, okay? And this isn't the greatest picture. The greatest pic was a little bit more this way. There's another cop to the right of this guy in the mask. So there's four cops there. And they're guarding the door. And if you go directly where you have the black officer in the mask at the corner, if you just go down that wall, right there is a SWAT team. There's a SWAT team. There we go. SWAT team, right? There actually is a SWAT team that if the camera just pivoted this way, you see a SWAT team there. Why would you ever shoot somebody in that crowd then? And also, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I have a video that I'm looking at right now. Watch this video yourself. Go to her Twitter page. Watch the video yourself of Ashley Babbitt punch and try to stop Zachary Alam. That's Earmuff Man in the video, who starts this entire event. And he doesn't just start this entire event either. In part one of Cheryl Atkinson's video, he starts another where they break through another line of officers. And again, where he ends up talking to officers, touching officers. You ask Brent right now, in any situation, is anybody allowed to touch you?
No.
No. You're on a police call. You don't touch me. You touch me, you're going to jail. Period. You can be the nicest person in the world. You can be, an innocent bystander. No touchy. None. You don't even get close. I don't know whether you're armed. Say I'm at a bar fight and you're just an innocent bystander waiting to give your side of the story. Fine. You'll wait 10 feet away, please. Because I don't know whether you're armed. I don't know what you're part of. I don't know whether you're part of the victim's crew, the perpetrator's crew, whatever it may be. So you have the cops blocking the door. And also, if you look at the video, too, of where Bird actually has his gun out, there's a guy just strolling down the hallway on the other side. Right? No, it's hard to do with the camera. That way. Down the hall. That way. There's a guy strolling down the hall. Bird's got his gun out. You realize that if it's a gun situation, nobody's strolling down the hall. I mean, this is not a gun situation. You have cops in an L formation here, all the way in front of this door, and then down the hall. And those are the emergency response guys. Basically, the SWAT guys are right there also. Armed with fully automatic weapons with body armor on. Why would you shoot Ashley Babbitt here? She's surrounded by cops. If any, and by the way, any of those cops could have shot her. before she ever got to the door. So why is Michael Byrd justified in the shooting? Any of these cops could have shot her. They didn't shoot her. So why is he justified in shooting her? What changed? And he actually shot in the direction of other cops. Well, I mean, how in the world is it? And she, of course, she's unarmed and she's 115 pounds Army veteran. You don't shoot unarmed people. And if she enters this area, just notice now, it's such a big deal that she enters this area. I mean, I didn't mean to spend this long on this. If it's such a big deal that Ashley Babbitt enters this area, then why did these guys vacate their post? I mean, if this is it, and they're going and all these people who are unarmed and have no weapons at all are going to go in there and do what? I don't know. Nothing. Because none of them did anything. Even when they had access to people, they never did anything. And the only time they ever did anything, it was either an Antifa antagonist, an NGO antagonist, FBI antagonist, Capitol Police antagonist, Metro Police antagonist. We have video footage of a Metro Police officer instigating violence at you know, the 1-6 Fed's direction. But anyway, so if it's such a big deal, and this is your big line of demarcation, and nobody's allowed to go through here, okay, why would you abandon the post? And you've got a SWAT team right there. They could have just gone up there. Who's gonna? They could raise up their AR-15s. What? Everyone gonna go try to get through there? What? And why? And then again, if this is a line that cannot be crossed, to the point where it's justifiable for Michael Byrd to shoot Ashley Babbitt through the neck and kill her, if that's the case, then why didn't they come up and defend it like that? Why they could have crawled through the windows themselves and set up a position. They could have stood right there on this side of the door and set up a position. And nobody was trying to remove them. Kind of weird, isn't it? All right, so that's that frame. So, and then they move upon, my opinion, Earmuff Man's request. He goes up there, interacts with them, and then all of those officers step down. They just step down. It's almost like Ray Epps at the first bicycle rack, the first barrier. Ray Epps goes up there, he talks with a guy, and then they storm through the bicycle barrier, the bicycle rack, the gates from the Capitol. That's how serious they were on Insurrection Day, right? They put up bicycle racks. And then Ray Epps comes up, communicates with the guy, and then they break through, and Ray Epps goes running to the Capitol, and Ray Epps isn't charged with anything. And everybody who does way less than Ray Epps ever did, they get charged and are in prison for years, and Ray Epps gets a couple little misdemeanors, and he's free and has never seen any jail time at all, and he's the only one on video actually instigating the insurrection, if you want to call it that, which, of course, it's not. All right, go to the next picks, guys. So here's the thing with this. Now, this is right behind Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt's now on the ground. And again, it's hard to get these. I task these guys on the spot. I should tell Aaron before the show, but I task them on the spot. Cut out pictures for me. But again, this is the SWAT team who was behind Ashley Babbitt. If it was such a big deal that she went through that window, why didn't they stop her? Why didn't they shoot her? Why didn't they go and man the door? Why didn't they block the door themselves? They were right there the whole time. Michael Byrd shot in their direction. And then this guy, Michael Byrd, has been promoted. How does this make sense to anybody? Kevin McCarthy says it was justifiable shooting. How? When you have the SWAT team behind the person, who does it? Who does that? Who walks up to in any police situation whatsoever, you have an unarmed subject and the SWAT team behind them and shoot them? How does that make sense to anybody? It makes absolutely no sense. Then Earmuff Man is allowed behind these cops where you see him right now. He's behind the cops. And they got Brent in the room. Nobody lets any subject who has instigated. Yeah, you can let it roll, guys. You can let it roll. If they show it, it's fine. There goes Earmuff Man, okay, who is Zachary Alam, okay? He ends up behind him rummaging through his backpack. What kind of cops are these, Keystone? No, they're cops who obviously know that this guy is untouchable for what reason? And he goes, he roams throughout the Capitol that day. And he interacts with law enforcement in inappropriate ways. And what happened? Touching them, talking to them, whispering in their ear. Cops don't allow that unless somebody's told them, this guy's with us. This guy's with us. Who told them that this guy's with us? No cop would allow this Zachary Emuff guy would allow Zachary Alam behind their skirmish line and ruffle through a backpack with your back turned. Brent Center, we watched the video. He could have killed all five of these cops right here. All five of them. And then, of course, they fail. She had a survivable wound, and they failed to render appropriate aid to her, and she died. So I just wanted to show that stuff again, and I know I've gone through that ad nauseum. But let me go to this one. Tom Fitton video. Here's more on Michael Bird. Play for me.
So just the news, our friends over there, John Solomon, released more emails detailing the special monies that he was getting and how Bird was outraged he wasn't getting enough money and enough benefits and enough support from the police. And even the police, the Capitol Hill police, were kind of like, what are you talking about? Do you realize what you're getting that other officers aren't getting? I mean, the emails are more smoking guns, a special treatment for the killer of Ashley Babbitt. So this is Bird writing, can you advise on the status of the memorial fund and the background check? I'll let Karen update you on the background check, but for the memorial fund, we have all your info. We're working on the announcement to the entire department as to how folks injured on 1-6 can apply to the fund, and we'll consider all claims on that point. He wasn't injured on January 6th. And he writes, I don't think that's fair, blah, blah, blah. And then the supervisor writes up a little bit further, I'm sorry you're disappointed, and this is the outrage here. I find that surprising since we've already provided you $36,000 in unrestricted retention funds, meaning they gave him money to stay in a job he likely was going to stay in. You know what the result of the department is receiving? The rest of the department, excuse me. You know what the rest of the department is receiving? $3,000 each. Yes, you are being lumped in with the other 91 officers who suffered injuries that day. The memorial fund is for the entire department, not one officer. It will not take months, but more like weeks, during which we are providing you housing, training to take a department shotgun home, and extensive security upgrades at your personal residence. I don't think that's unfair.
So again, and I'm not going to keep reiterating it. I have the tendency to do that, of course, those of you you put up with me if you watch the podcast. I'm not going to be redundant. We just covered it. The shooting, of course, was inexcusable, never should happen, definitely not justifiable. So here's an interaction. Now, this is post-shooting with Michael Bird talking to the Secret Service, who has set up a fund for all of the officers wounded on that day. All the Gunnells and the Duns and the Fanons who we have, they were never injured, but claim that they were. Goodell's claiming that he had these head wound. We have the video showing he was not injured at all. Just like Officer Signet with Tucker Carlson. Some moron actually put that out on Twitter, leftist, about how Officer Signet was killed by J6 protesters. He died of a stroke, natural causes, signed off by the medical examiner the day after. Had nothing to do with anything, and had nothing to do with the protest. And we have video footage of him after he was killed. But they said he was killed. Remember, that was all the fire extinguisher. So here, I'm just giving you an example on this. I have a friend of mine who is, through kind of a backdoor channel, sent me some information about all the stuff with Trump Tower stuff, which, by the way, I'm going to Vegas and I'm hoping to do a podcast in the Trump Tower Hotel in Vegas in February. But anyway, he's like this and that, talking about, basically the whole Sean Ryan email situation. And I'm like, you believe that this is a conspiracy, which it is, but I'm just saying that this is not, obviously what my friend was telling me is, don't believe what you see, but my friend is fully vaccinated multiple times and boosted. Okay, so this one here is not right, but the very same group of people tell you to inject something into your veins and you do it? The very same people setting up this mirage and setting up this hoax tell you to inject something into your veins and you do it, but a guy who blows up a vehicle in front of Trump Tower, it's more than what they're telling you, but yet you, the exact same people you don't believe in this scenario, you believe enough to take 6 vaccinations? Did I communicate that to the person? No, I'm not close enough. But if I was close enough to him, I would. All right, so here's Bird groveling for money. Now, this is a guy at the time was Lieutenant Michael Byrd making six figures. And he's on paid leave. For what? Because he's under investigation for the shooting, though they never investigated it. So you look at it. Now, this reads, of course, newest is always on the top, which gets confusing. But anyway, Mike, I'll let Karen update you on the background check. But the memorial fund we have, but for the memorial fund, we have all your information. Memorial fund for what? We are working on an announcement for the entire department as to how folks injured on 1-6 can apply to the fund. Aaron, Brent, was he injured?
No.
Okay, okay. So he shot somebody. He's under an internal review for shooting somebody. Why is he interested in getting funds for quote unquote wounded officers? Of which there were none. You're like, Tom, there were some people. Show it to me. Show me the injuries. Show me the injuries. It's like, show me the bodies with COVID. There isn't any. It's just another mirage. Everything's a lie. We are working on an announcement for the entire department as to how folks injured on 1-6 can apply to the fund, and we'll consider all the claims at that point. And here's how Michael Byrd responds. I don't think that's fair to me and my wife. You know our situation and what we've been dealing with. He's getting paid six figures as he's writing this email. What does he need? He's getting paid to sit at home now. $100,000+ a year. Probably well into the $100,000 range. I mean, I'm talking about well over $100,000. Why do you need to be given money for whatever it is that you're dealing with? What you propose could take months. Our was, because he's an idiot, our was expectation was that this would be done soon. Now you're telling me we got to wait for the rest, this guy's an idiot, rest of the department to even file claims, get evaluated and go through the process we have endured for months? That doesn't even make sense. He's merging two things, what he's been going through and this process, and saying that he's going through it for months. It makes no sense because he's an idiot. He's been an idiot his whole career. You can track his record. He shot at a car for no reason. He left his car, he's left his gun in the bathroom, and he's been promoted to captain. This is blatantly wrong to treat us like. Treat you like what? That you're not getting extra cash when you're already making six figures? And you're not even working? This was never proposed to us in this manner. Why would you get... I'll just leave this up, Aaron. Or Brent, who's ever run it. When I was Sarasota County Sheriff's Deputy, and Brett, your experience at Cincinnati, your department, you lived at police township department up there, were cops given extra money when they were involved in a shooting and were under internal investigation?
No.
Yeah, not either. I mean, they were paid and they were at home on paid vacation because most of the shootings were justified. I think just about everyone when I was at my 25 years in Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, most, if not every single shooting was justified. But even if they weren't, they were being paid during the internal investigation, during the IA. Nobody got extra money to sit at home. They're being paid. It's like an extended vacation for this man. And he says, this is blatantly wrong to treat us like this. Me being fully paid doing nothing is blatantly wrong. This was never proposed to us in this manner. Now we're being grouped in with everybody else. You're not even wounded. This is a memorial. Why it's called memorial when, and you notice how they name it memorial fund? Nobody's dead. Nobody died. And it's called a memorial fund? Nobody's dead. Shouldn't it be injury fund? Casualty fund? Nobody's dead. The only people that are dead are natural causes and suicides, probably because they were lying under oath and sending people to prison for years and couldn't live with themselves. This is really bad. Listen to what he says here. Now we're being grouped in with everyone else. Yeah, you're everybody else, Mike. Wow, he puts on there a little... sarcastic wow. This is really bad for you. All you do this to, look at this guy, can't even write. Bad for you, all you do to this. This, I guarantee you, he thinks this is grammatically correct. Because once again, Michael Byrd's an idiot. He's an idiot. All these people are idiots. I'm telling you. This is really bad for you all to do this to us when you know we're expecting to have the funds soon. So disappointing. Funds for what? Why would you expect to have extra money? Aaron, tell me if I'm missing something here.
No.
I mean, why would you? I mean, you're getting paid. Your wife is getting paid from her job. Why would you be getting extra money? And for what? For what? When? Why would you be expecting? Why would you need it? Isn't your budget set up for your six-figure income from the Capitol Police Department alone? All right, go to the next one for me. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my brain goes real dark and conspiratorial, so then I'm thinking, like, maybe he was paid to shoot her. Who knows? I don't know. Like, yeah.
I don't think that, but, you know, these days, I mean, because it'd be impossible to set up, you know, one particular person, but...
Well, not her specifically, just someone.
Yeah, I can't see it that way. I don't, but you know what? Who knows? You know, who knows at this point, all this stuff. But anyway, so here's the response. I'm sorry you are disappointed, Mike. I find that surprising since we have already provided you $36,000. And by the way, please notice the date. Do you notice the date is November 16th of 2021? Has this man not been working for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and almost all of November already? I don't know that. But has he not been working for almost 10 months already and being paid the entire time? And now wants money, and they already gave him $36,000 in cash? What does he need the extra money for? In unrestricted retention funds, you know what the rest of the department is receiving? $3,000 each. From the injury fund, and he's not injured, but he himself gets $36,000. And please be sure to decline that amount since we've already provided the maximum we can to you. Yes, you are being lumped in with the other 91 officers who suffered injuries that day, none of them major. The memorial fund is for the entire department, not one officer. It will take months, but more like weeks, during which we are providing you housing, training to take a department shotgun home, and extensive security upgrades at your personal residence. I don't think that's unfair. What did he get? $36,000. He's about to get more thousands from this memorial fund, but it's going to take him weeks, and he's inconvenienced by that. He's getting housing. Didn't he already have a house? He's getting housing paid for. In addition to his six-figure income, training, and I know what they're talking about, to take a shotgun home. So they ended up probably bringing him in, training him on a shotgun. You have to shoot the course, and then you're allowed to take it home. They probably, of course, at departmental expense. And they were paying his personal security detail. And he's complaining about it. All right, let's finally go to the next one. Judicial Watch, back to Tom Fenton tweet here. Outrageous record shows a U.S. Capitol Police meeting with a top official in Pelosi's office about Lieutenant Byrd. Their ideas range from giving him a car to closing costs of purchasing a new home and more, all for Michael Byrd, who shot an unarmed woman surrounded by cops already. And I mean, these people are soulless, demonic, outrageous, ignorant, purposely stupid people. That's who they are. All right, let's go to this next one. Now, Insurrection Barbie video. Who in our government would care to explain this footage? Because I, for one, will not be forgetting. Play for me. And this brings up a point that Aaron brought up It's almost as if when we go back to earmuff guy, who is, what's the guy's name? Zachary Alam, who ends up with 10 convictions and he's scheduled to be sentenced soon. How much you want to bet he gets no prison time? Isn't it weird? He hasn't been sentenced yet. It's weird, isn't it? This is a guy who is right, who cleared the door of cops. You know, somehow he walks up to him, he's got him, he's touching him and stuff, and the cops all leave the door that Ashley Babbitt then tries to crawl through, surrounded by cops, and the SWAT team right behind her gets shot through the neck. He's not been sentenced yet. That's weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird. But anyway. So in this video, which, I mean, most of you have seen this already, it went very, very viral. Cops don't treat people like this who are criminals. Just so you know. Okay, this doesn't work that way. Where you take them into a private hallway and uncuff them. Our department basically had a policy. Once you cuff somebody, you take them to the jail. That was pretty much our policy. And you go, and then they uncuff them, and then they do a little fist bump here. A little fist bump. Aaron said this. It's almost as if these people knew specific people to watch out for. When you see bicycle helmet boy, when you see earmuff guy Zachary Alam, make sure that you cooperate with these guys. Because they're CIs. Now listen, people get overly conspiratorial. You don't have to be, you can be a pawn in these things. Capitol Police, there's 2,700 officers. Everybody in on it? No, but you can be a pawn.
Yep.
Somebody comes up to you, a high-ranking official tells you, I can tell you this how it works. High-ranking official comes up to you and says, when you see earmuff guy, he's part of an undercover operation, cooperate with him. We're trying to get this person arrested. We're trying to set up a scenario to get people, you know, not necessarily to entrap them or commit crimes because they wouldn't use that verbiage, but that's what they're doing. You know, we're trying to set up a specific event to illuminate criminals, whatever it may be. And if you're a rank and file guy, which by the way, I'm not downgrading that at all. That's what I was my whole career, rank and file guy. That's all I ever was. You're going to say, okay, when I see earmuff guy and earmuff guy tells me to stand down, and I'm going to stand down because I think he's an undercover cop. Or he's an undercover asset. He's a CI. He's working for the FBI. He's working for an NGO hired by the FBI, whatever it may be, or the CIA or the State Department. I'm going to stand down. Not everybody has to be in on it. Only the upper echelons have to be in on it. Now, the question is, once you find out that your department is corrupt, like if you're an FBI agent now and you're staying in the FBI and you're not a whistleblower, you are corrupt. But anyway, so this obviously would never happen. This does not happen. And then they just let him loose. This insurrectionist is just let loose. I want to show you this one, of course. This we'll probably just show part of this. This is a Western Lensman video. Members of the J6 committee admitted the hearings were an election year publicity stunt. Look how this was set up for viewers, viewer consumption on the level of a Max or Netflix video. Play for me, Brent.
The one thing that we knew was the information that we have is compelling. The thing we needed to do was tell that to the American people in a compelling way. So that's why we brought in a former president of ABC News.
Yeah, I got a call pretty much out of the blue from the January 6th committee. They wanted a storyteller. And while they were brilliant lawyers, storytelling for a mass audience is not what they do.
To bring in a guy like this who would think outside the box really did prove to be fruitful. And it was Goldston who really began to envision this as, in a way, a kind of mini-series, that there would be, you know, sort of 9 episodes, and that these episodes would tackle particular themes.
Attack on the Capitol. The investigation.
The first hearing was primetime television.
As the nation is about to witness a defining moment, the first hearing before the country, the results of the January 6th investigation.
This is an extraordinary moment in American history.
When it came to that first hearing, we knew how high the stakes were.
Is about to hold its first primetime hearing.
We were either gonna, you know, make people realize that this was important, you know, or once you've lost them, you've lost them for good.
On the evening of June 9th, 8:01 p.m., the doors opened. My heart was beating pretty fast on June 9th, and it was a real question of, is this going to work or not?
All right, everybody, here we go. 5 on the line, please.
I'm in this tiny control room right up the stairs from Cannon Caucus. And we count down to the start of the hearing. And at that point, what can you do?
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order. Without objection.
We wanted to make sure that this was a presentation that would grab the audience and hold on to them. Chairman Thompson loved to say, it's got to pop.
Well, first of all, of course, it was an epic fail because nobody watched. I mean, literally, statistically speaking, nobody watched. Nobody gave a crap at all. Secondly, if you have to hire an ABC News producer, I mean, first of all, that guy acts like he was called by like some sports channel. They called because, you know, they just wanted to add some, you know, produced quality to this. Whatever. No, you weren't called to film people skiing down a mountain. It should bother you that your government is asking you to produce propaganda. And Aaron just filled me in on something. This is the genesis of the FBI. The FBI did this at the very beginning of the formation of the FBI because they sucked so bad. They hired media outlets to say to the American public, to propagandize to the American public how great the G-men were.
Yep.
And everybody bought in. They've never been great. I'm telling you, the FBI always sucks. They lose every shootout they're ever in. They solve no crimes. You ever watched any of their shootouts? They suck. They suck. They have no idea. You ever watch them when they show up at people's houses with their jeans on and their tactical vest? They're idiots. They've never handled police calls in their life. They have no idea what they're doing. None. They're a bunch of social workers and wannabe failed attorneys trying to handle cop calls. And they have no ability to do so. But anyway, this also shows when you have to hire an ABC, a mainstream media producer, because you lack so much credibility, he has to give you false credibility. You stink and have no credibility. Have no validity to what you're doing. And nobody watched it. Nobody cared anyway. But that just shows you how fake the whole thing was. And they didn't bring any real witnesses. They presented no exculpatory material and then deleted their entire investigation, which is also a felonious crime. Bernie Thompson, federal prison. Liz Cheney, federal prison. Adam Kinzinger, federal prison. If there's not at least an attempt to prosecute these people, that's a massive fail by the Trump administration, but I don't think they're going to fail. They need. I'm going to put together my list of everything that needs to be exposed, litigated, prosecuted, and all the people that has to be fired. And they have to do it. There cannot be any moving on, letting bygones be bygones. Because if you do, they're going to come at you again with another J6 non-select committee and put people in prison like Navarro. And man, that's who put him in prison. That committee that had to hire ABC News to make itself look valid. Those are the people that put Bannon and Navarro in prison. They did it. Adam Kinzinger. Liz Cheney. Bernie Thompson. They're the ones who did it. They put our guys in prison. The only two people in prison for a misdemeanor in our federal prison system in the year 2024 was Navarro and Bannon. Dan Barry Prison, Steve Bannon, 70 years old in Dan Barry Prison, which is no country club, by the way. All right, moving on from 1-6. It's kind of some fun stuff, and for me, fun. So, of course, Biden is handing out all of these presidential freedom medals, which, by the way, some of them, and I don't know the delineation of them, but some of them, Soros's medal that he got that was given to his son, Alex Soros, who's dating Uba Abedin. Aaron and I were discussing before the show. It's funny how everybody ends up dating each other and everybody knows each other and promotes each other. That's the whole DC cocktail circuit. But anyway, so he's been given these president. Now, the one that Alex Soros got on behalf of his father, George Soros, is the highest civilian honor you can get in the United States. Basically the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor for citizens. That's why. It again, Mittens Romney gets one. And again, I don't know whether they got the highest one. There's a next one down. And I don't know which one everybody got, but the one Soros got was the highest honor you can get. Mittens Romney, so that just proves that Mittens Romney Willard has been a Democrat the whole time. I mean, why is he there? Of course, Liz Cheney gets one and Hillary Clinton gets one for accomplishing what? Can we all just name on one hand what Liz Cheney has ever accomplished? How about Mitt Romney? What's he ever accomplished? You get a Presidential Freedom Award? What's Hillary Clinton ever accomplished? Mitt Romney ever accomplished? Liz Cheney ever accomplished? What's George Soros ever accomplished for us? Nothing. For the benefit of America, that you actually get its highest civilian honor, or one of its highest civilian honors. So let's focus on George Soros, shall we? Let's do that for a couple videos here. Read a Panahi video. This sums up Biden's pitiful presidency. Play for me.
Accepting on behalf of George Soros is Alex Soros. Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to George Soros. Born into a Jewish family in Hungary, George Soros escaped Nazi occupation to build a life of freedom for himself and countless others around the world. Educated in England, he settled in America as he became an investor and philanthropist, supporting key pillars of open societies, rights and justice, equity and equality, freedom now and in the future. His inspiring generosity reminds us all of our capacity and our obligation to stand up to the abuse of power and to be guardians of democracy and all people yearning to be free.
Of course, none of those are accomplishments. Everything they said that he accomplished, he did exactly the opposite. I mean, he's tried to overturn monetary policy in countries, bankrupted countries. Don't have time to get all you know, into everything with Soros. But I want to focus on one of the things they said that he accomplished. That he escaped Nazi Germany, Aaron. Remember, they said he escaped Nazi Germany. No. He collaborated with Nazis himself. He collaborated with the Nazis in Germany as a 14-year-old, not a 9-year-old, not an 8-year-old, not a 6-year-old, as a 14-year-old post-pubescent boy. So very marriageable in the Islamic culture, which I'm not going to get to my Islamic expose tonight, which I will get to at some point this week, but got a huge right here. But anyway, he didn't escape Nazi Germany. He was part of Nazi Germany. What did he do? We played this in the pregame. What did he do? It says he escaped Nazi Germany. Concerned citizen video. What did he actually do in Nazi Germany? He was a Nazi. Play for me.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours, who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection, but it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
So he went out with his Nazi protector. I thought he said, Aaron, didn't he say he escaped Nazi Germany?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't. He was there the whole time. He was there the whole time confiscating. Now, this was as a 14-year-old, so did it go 14, 15, 16, 17? Because it was obviously over a four-year period of time or longer. Who knows how long he was doing this? Says he escaped Nazi Germany, but actually what he was doing was confiscating his fellow Jews' property before they went off to Dachau. Isn't that great? What a great guy. He was one of those. You want to talk about Schindler's List and all that? He was one of the Jewish collaborators with the Nazis. He went around with his protector, who was Aaron, can you guess? A Nazi, who called him his godson to keep him alive. And he collaborated with the Nazis like Tommy's a child. No, he was post-pubescent, 14-year-old. He saw everybody disappearing. Now, listen, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done something. He should have run for his life. I'm just saying, no, he didn't do any of that. He didn't escape crap. He escaped by collaborating. That would be hang from a tree stuff. He confiscated the goods, the possessions of his own people for the Nazis. That's who George Soros is. And it's said during his Presidential Freedom Award presentation that he escaped Nazi Germany. He was Nazi Germany. He was a Nazi in Germany. And he was asked, I mean, Steve Croft must have been sitting there going, man, I'm talking to a freaking psychopath here. And when he asked, this would send a lot of people to a mental institution and have to get psychotherapy. And Soros like, no, not at all. I guess that as a child, you weren't a child. You were 14 years old. You saw everybody. Maybe he was older than that too. Maybe he went 14, 15, 16. Because we know they're going to cover up for him as much as they possibly can. He saw everybody disappearing. He saw everybody being loaded. Why would you be confiscating their gear if they're still there? He knew. And he collaborated anyway. And the and remember, it's kind of weird. The only two countries on the planet under Joseph Robinette Biden to not condemn Nazism, to not outlaw Nazism globally, was Ukraine and the United States of America under a UN charter. That's weird, isn't it? We're the only two that voted against it. And then we give an award to a Nazi. You got Chrystia Freeland, who's related to Nazis. Klaus Schwab, whose dad was a Nazi. That lineage just keeps on being revealed. All right, Bannon's War Room. Here's what Steve Bannon says needs to be done about this award. Play it for me.
My recommendation to President Trump is that you notify today that you're going to sign an executive order on Monday. One of the very first actions is to rescind the Presidential Medal of Freedom that's being given to George Soros today. Rescind it. They're going to say, well, you can't rescind it. So, okay, well, fine. Try me. And send a team to track down Soros and take the medal back. It is a disgrace that a demonic individual like that has gone out of his way to try to destroy this country, would actually be given to mock this constitutional republic, to mock this constitutional republic, which he hates and has dedicated his life to destroying, that we would be presenting him, awarding him the highest civilian honor that you could give. President Trump today ought to come out and say, hey, I'm putting out an executive order right after I take my hand off the King James. With everything else we got to do, all stuff, either number one is going to be rescinding Soros's as a symbol. As a symbol. Rescind it. And they can say, well, you can't rescind it. But you know what? He's going to be president of the United States. There's a lot he can do that you can't. And then send a team up to track Soros down and take the medal, rip it right off his neck.
Exactly right. That's exactly what needs to happen. Here's a good one here. Pismo video. Here's El Salvador's president, who holds, by the way, a 90% approval, 91% approval rating, shredding George Soros. Play for me.
Who elected Soros to dictate public policy and laws? Why does he feel entitled to impose his agenda? Let me tell you something. Soros and his cronies hit a brick wall in El Salvador. Thank God, and all the glory be to him, Salvadorans are now immune to his influence. No one believes his lies anymore over there.
Two great leaders outside of Trump, and Trump is about to be a president again. Trump, Milei, and Bukele, I believe is how you pronounce the president of El Salvador's last name. Man, these people are turning this world upside down. What Milei is doing in Argentina is unprecedented. He's basically eliminating their national debt by millions a month. I mean, it's unbelievable. Gotten rid of hyperinflation. Unbelievable. I have an expose. I have a thorough video on him. So I'll try to get to that too. I got this whole stack. I'm just not getting anything because I spent an hour on 1-6. I didn't want to do that. I really didn't. But anyway, so let's do a couple of these. Now, if I'm being honest, not this video I'm about to show you, but the video after it is my favorite video of the day. Now, I'm setting up the second video with the first. If you're wondering why it is, I'm going to show you this video. It's because of the second video. Johnny Midnight video. How about that? Kamala Harris herself was involved in selling baby body parts. Play for me, Brent.
Parented specific request. She approved a raid on my one bedroom apartment.
To steal your footage. What were you doing when that happened?
I was making lunch. Either Kamala Harris or those advising her knew how deep the rabbit hole went when it came to selling baby body parts in California, because they did not want this stuff about like the proprietary fetuses deal in San Diego, massive use of misoprostol across the board for inducing labor to deliver the babies, or any of that to come out in the wake of these videos. There's certainly been some blessings along the way because Planned Parenthood sued me and Center for Medical Progress and my colleagues. In their lawsuit, we were able to put their top abortion doctors on video camera under oath in sworn depositions where they had to raise their hands and swear under oath that they actually were selling baby body parts, that they had committed partial birth abortions. We had some of them admitting that they've actually had born alive infant cases before in their clinics.
California has not prosecuted undercover journalists before.
Go undercover. The first and only case.
You're still obviously investigating Planned Parenthood.
I just got a response to a FOIA request just yesterday that was very interesting about what it admitted they've been hiding from us.
The first and only time in California's history that an undercover reporter has been investigated or prosecuted. First time in history. Before, during, and after this case. Nothing outside of this one guy. And if you've seen the video, we've played it on here before, where he has recorded top doctors admitting to trafficking in human body parts. Which, just to make it clear for everybody, every time you sell an eyeball on the open market, it's felonious crime. And they were all talking about it like Aaron and I were talking about trafficking in M&Ms. Seriously. That's it. If Aaron and I were talking about what's our favorite Dorito, that's how these people were talking about it. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, yeah, we all meet the person who just loves to do this horrendous demonic act, this act of murder. I mean, literally, it's at a cocktail party. Everybody's drinking and laughing, having a great time. This guy recorded him. So do they go arrest the felons? No, they arrest the person who exposed the felons. Sounds just like Great Britain right now, where the rapists don't get arrested. The people in criminal grooming rape gangs, that one of the reports I have right here, which we'll get to tomorrow, where they raped a girl, and a Muslim raped a girl with a broken Coke bottle. She's, of course, never going to have a child for the rest of her life. They don't go after that guy. They go after the person who denigrates that guy, as he should be, on Facebook. According to Elon Musk, they are clearing out prisons of pedophiles so they can make room for their arrests of people who committed the crime of Facebook posting. Over 3,000 people get arrested for posting disapproved speech in Great Britain, unapproved speech. So Kamala Harris was behind this guy's prosecution. Not the prosecution of the people actually committing the crimes, the person who exposed them committing crimes. I mean, think about all the different undercover journalism that we see where you have an undercover journalist, like all of those videos where they set up the pedophile comes in to pick up the girl or the guy that they want to molest, and then they all pounce on the guy, right? All that stuff, which is great. None of those people have gone to prison, but Kamala Harris, because this involves a political issue, and the person exposing the criminals is exposing her own party, she goes after the journalists who expose the criminals, not the criminals, because the criminals are on her side of the political aisle. That's who Kamala Harris is. Again, I say all of that to get to this video, Johnny MAGA video, because that's who Kamala Harris is. Before I show you this video, this was a viral video. All of you will know it when I show it to you. These people are not worthy of civility. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about violence in any way, shape, or form. There are people, if somebody betrays me, if somebody, like, Melania Trump turned down the first lady invite to the White House where Jill Biden invited Melania Trump. And Melania turns it down and people were, how could she do this? Just like I saw one Christian say about this video a minute ago, how could this person do this? It's just not, it's rude. It's Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer's husband refusing to shake Kamala's hand. That's exactly what he should do. And Melania, is Melania, would you go to have lunch with the woman who raided your bedroom and rifled your underwear drawer? Because that's exactly who Jill Biden is. See, everybody, a lot of people, they still live under this false pretense. That's just politics. And at the end of the day, it's like the Wile E. Coyote cartoon, where you have Wile E. Coyote versus the sheepdog, and every day they go at it, they go at it, they at it. But at the end of the day, they both go home to their families and nothing really ever happens. That's not the case. Navarro went to prison. Bannon went to prison. They were going to send General Flynn to prison for 9 years. If Sidney Powell hadn't gotten him off, 9 years in prison. No, correction. That was Roger Stone. 9 years in prison, Roger Stone, if he wasn't pardoned. Flynn was facing years in prison. Oh, boy, he wasn't going to go to prison because he had a plea bargain, which Sidney Powell got him out of. And then you're supposed to be civil with somebody who's trying to send you to prison and raid your home? I don't think so. So are you going to be civil with somebody like Kamala Harris who raids the home of an investigative journalist who exposed human body part trafficking? She doesn't go arrest the traffickers. She arrests the person who exposed them. You know, shake hands with this person. Viral video, Johnny Maga video. Nebraska Senator's Deb Fischer's husband. Man, he is based. Play for me, Brett.
Okay. We're ready. Okay. Do you solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States?
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
That makes a little bit. There you go. Thank you so much. Ready? One, two, and three. Hold it. Ready? One, two, and three. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
That's exactly how they should be treated. Nobody denigrated her. Nobody called her names. I'm not shaking her freaking hand. She's a baby butchering, perjurous, will lock up her political opponent's demon. I'm not shaking her hand. It's like somebody who betrays me. I've had people do this before, want to hug me. You know, the church people, you know, like they're freaking jerks. I'm not hugging your sorry butt. I'm not putting my arms around your neck, you worthless piece of crap. You want to repent? Oh, well, because that's the gospel. But you know what? She's never repented of any of these things at all. Still, right there for that poor journalist. Never. It's never happened before. It's never happened since. She's behind it all. But anyway, so that's it. 10:19. That's good. I'll be in the Rumble Rants tonight. Tammy and Margaret are $10. Is that supposed to be silent, right? Silent $5, or is it supposed to be silent?
I don't know. That's what it was.
Okay. So anyway, silent or silent, one of the two. Love you. Appreciate you. I've seen you before. $5. Thank you guys so much for the Rumble Rants. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for the post game. It's relatively short. Great stuff in it. It starts off with an embellished video of Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer's husband. So stick around for it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9:00. See you then. God bless you. I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire. And you really liked it, and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.